Here we are to number 95 and 96 on our series of religion or Christianity. Mostly looking at the verses, the proof texts that they use to justify a lot of their doctrines and beliefs. We'll keep trucking. Seems like every time I go to wind this down, a new verse pops up. And I said, well, better talk about that one. So, anyways, we'll keep going. We're still on Galatians 5:4. I don't think we got through that, so we'll keep going. Before we get going, let's take a minute of silent prayer. And we like to take advantage of confession, because 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a huge thing, because, you know, as believers, we also still have a sin nature. So to be able to do that is not only a grace gift that God has provided us, but it allows us to get back in the light of the Holy Spirit and to continue marching in the right direction. So let's take a moment. We'll do that, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ability to be here and to be here looking forward to what your word has to say. We know that it always has something to say, and we also know that if we stay with it and stay tuned into it, that we can live a happy life and live a life of contentment, and just to be able to grow and to love you even more every day. We thank you so much for that opportunity, and we just pray today that we can concentrate in a way that's meaningful and life-changing. We thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, if you remember, on Wednesday, we moved to Galatians 5:4, and we hadn't really made it through. I think we just kind of introduced it. And just so you kind of remember what we're talking about, let me just go ahead and read the verse right off the bat, because then we'll get back into it. It says, "You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." And I mean, we have to understand what this is saying, otherwise we won't. And if you don't, that's what the enemy likes. He enjoys it when you don't understand, when you don't know, when you're unaware, when you're off of your game, so he can slip this verse in on you, and you say, oh, wow, you know, I didn't know that. Maybe I need to start thinking about things differently. But we're not doing that, because we've got to look at the details, right? We have to do our little expanding square pattern and look at what's happening in the text. Right? What's who the audience? Who's the author? Why is he writing the letter? What's the problem? And we did talk a little bit about this. Remember, of course, the religion is influencing. Once again, the religious Jews are influencing these Galatian believers, who are mostly Gentile, because it says they were not circumcised. But the religious Jews really were influencing them to get circumcised. That's a big subject of the book, circumcision. And, you know, a lot of the things we talked about was that Christ fulfilled the law. The law was something that was, the people were no longer obligated to follow, because Christ had done away with it. And not only that, but they had also distorted it, in that they weren't following it completely. They just were picking and choosing certain things that were important to them. And they were, you know, imposing that on other people. And that's exactly what they were doing here. If you don't do this, there's no possible way you could be saved, kind of thing. And so that's what they are being influenced by. And you know, when that's seeping into your realm or influencing you, it can become overwhelming, especially if you're not growing in a consistent manner. That's how we're infiltrated. That's how the enemy infiltrates us, right? If he sees air these bubbles coming out. He knows there's a hole there. And he knows there's a hole there because we're not growing consistently in the Word to be airtight in our thinking. And that's where we have to be, right? If we're not airtight in our growth, in the way we move forward in the plan of God and walking and filled with the Spirit, Satan will be right there waiting with his little bottle of soapy water to check for bubbles. That's what he does. He checks you for bubbles to see if you're consistent in your thinking. And so they were being tested that way, these Galatians believers, because, you know, if you're being influenced, and Paul's writing a whole letter that's in the Bible to believers, it not only means they were being influenced, it meant that they were succumbing to that influence. So there was a definite reason to write, right? So so that's kind of where we are in the context. And if you remember, we had to back up, and I wanted to just back up a few verses, back to verse 1. And just to see what Paul's talking about here. Paul. And let me just read verse 1. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." So, and we talked a little bit about this, but, you know, basically Paul's saying, hey, guys, don't go back to the old way of doing things. And he actually calls it slavery, being subjecting themselves again to the yoke of slavery. When I think of a yoke, I think of, you know, a horse or some type of animal doing farm work. You know, that's burdensome to have that heavy yoke on them and to not be able to take it off and to have to do the work at hand and to go in one direction. You're burdened, right? You're under the yoke. And he describes what they were being influenced by if they chose to go back to that as putting on that yoke of slavery. And so, and I like the way he says it because he goes, do not be subject again. Don't subject yourself again. In other words, don't expose. Don't go back. See, there's decisions that take place that they're having to think about. And he's saying, don't do it. Right? Don't go back to what is burdensome and it is slavery, really. And I love the comparison here because this is what I described as what Christ offers and what religion offers, which is freedom versus slavery. I mean, this verse really is a perfect verse for that, to describe what each is giving, right? You know, as hard as man tries to come up with to shroud the Bible in something great, it's slavery. That's what you end up with. We cannot make the Bible any better than it already is. Let's put it like that. We can't add any additional rules, any additional costumes, any additional creeds, any additional things to the Bible to make it better than it already is. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, there's freedom here, or you can make it a system of slavery because you're going back to subjecting yourself to something that is no longer applicable, right? That's one of the things that I think a lot of the confusion comes in, is because some people don't interpret the Bible in the times in which it was written. And when we don't do that, we start to move things out of the Old Testament and just shove them in the New Testament. Well, is that what's supposed to be happening? Maybe. Maybe not, right? We've got to understand those things. And what they were doing was not. Because remember, we looked at a lot of verses that talked about not only was the law fulfilled in Christ, they were under a new law, the law of Christ. Right? It's called something else now, which was completely different from the law, Mosaic law. But also, the law was what? Singular. They had to follow the whole thing, or they stumbled in everything, all of it. But that's not what they were interested in. They were more interested in the legalistic side of things. In other words, seeing who's not following the law so they can, right, have an influence on them in that manner. So anyways, Paul's saying, hey, bondage or freedom? Which one do you want? You know, you got to think about that. So And the slavery here referred to is, and I definitely can tie this in with Scripture, is the slavery to the sin nature. You know, if there's something that man has created and it's man-motivated and it's man-centric, guess the only thing you're going to be motivated by is the sin nature. That's the only thing that we can do to be able, if we're going to create anything outside or to the side of what Christ has offered us in the new life that we have, it's going to be motivated, rooted in the sin nature, because that's what we are, right? We're sinful man. And if we take God's system and say, yep, that's freedom in Christ, but I have something better over here, that's where that slavery to the lust of the flesh comes into play. Because these are things that the sin nature desires to do. Maybe it's new. Maybe it's, you know, it's exciting. Maybe it's up with the times. Maybe, you know, it's very emotional. It can be a lot of things. But the reality is, if we start to sidestep what God has in the New Testament and in His Word in total, right, to live the Christian life, we start to appease the lust of the flesh. And that's the sin nature. The sin nature enjoys a lot of things that are against what God desires us to do. And so we've got to be careful, because that is something that is a part of us. Even though we're growing believers, we still at some points desire the things that are the bigger, the better, the emotional, the flashy, right? So we're drawn to those things too. We're not, you know, we're not immune to those things, I should say. So I just want to mention that. And so that's what the slavery is referring to here. And the reason that for that is because our deeds are described to us in the Bible as filthy rags, right? We can't have a system that is man-centric, that is focused around what you do as a person, morality, doing good deeds, because we have nothing to offer God that can be approved or acceptable or worthy of Him outside of Himself. That's an easy way to understand that. So when we sidestep His plan and His system and His spiritual life that He has detailed, written in detail, and shown us how to live, we are essentially sidestepping that, and then all of a sudden now we want to give Him our filthy rags, the works, the menstrual rags is how it's described. It's meant to describe it in a bad way because of the sin nature. It's meant to not be a good thing, because we have nothing good to offer God, right? We have nothing good to offer Him. So, but He came to the rescue. He did. He came to the rescue. Jesus Christ came to the rescue and allowed us to get to a position where we are acceptable. But see, when we sidestep that, the system that He's created for us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, then we're in another position. And that position is fleshly. It's carnal, right? And so, that's something to point out, because that's what they're doing here. Is actually Paul's, what he's doing is he's getting them to wake up to the fact that, hey, this has to do with fellowship. And you can't stay in fellowship with God if you're going to be involved with slavery, the wrong kind of slavery. Because I know there's also a slave to Christ, right? We know that concept in the Bible as well. But that's not what this is, the second slavery here is talking about. He's talking about a bad kind of slavery here. So that's what this is describing. And if we're going to be in a system that consistently keeps us out of fellowship 24/7, it's man-centric, right? It's man-made and it's man-powered, you could say, which is very deceiving, because you and I can't see the difference. We can't see the heart. We can't see the difference. We don't know, and we can't judge people for that. All we can do is study the Word and understand what we're doing and our responsibility to move forward in a way that is God-centered, right? According to His Word. So, So anyways, it can happen. The very thing that a person desires and is a part of becomes not only a burden to them, but it deprives them from pleasing God. The system itself deprives them of pleasing God, which is not a good place to be. So, so one of the things we have to remember about all this that Paul's trying to get them to see is that, and I mentioned this, I think, on Wednesday, is that morality is not spirituality. Morality is not spirituality. And I'm emphasizing that for the reason that that's what Satan likes to blur the lines on, right? He likes to substitute morality for spirituality if he can. But see, morality should always be a result of spirituality. Being filled with the Spirit is what defines spiritual. You can't be spiritual without the Spirit, right? So we can't take that and say, okay, I'm going to push that aside, and now I'm going to be a moral person and produce good works and try to live up to that spiritual system that God... No. That's just morality, minus the spiritual part of it. So what religion has done is equate these two. If you're moral, if you go to church, if you do good things, then you're spiritual. See how that works? If you do this, and this, now all of a sudden you're spiritual. Well, wait a minute. What happened to all the details in the Word about how to be and live like a Christian should live? I don't know, but they get lost in the sauce. And that's what Satan loves to do. He just likes to say, if you do this, then you're spiritual. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you study. It doesn't matter who your friends are. It doesn't matter what you're talking about in the Word. You see, none of that matters. What matters is what you do. Morality. See, the spiritual part of it has been taken out so subtly that people don't even recognize it. Why? Because they're too high on doing good things. They're looking in themselves. And it's a problem because guess what that is? It's self-righteous. It's self-righteous. That's exactly what Satan revolted on. That's what he rebelled on, is looking inward and getting out of God's authority. And now he's on his own plan of not spirituality, but morality, right? Of course, evil. I'm not trying to build Satan up. He's evil. His system is evil. He's against God, and everything that he does is anti-God. But I just wanted to show you that there is a subtle way you can sidestep spirituality for a completely new thing, exciting thing, right? Puts you on the top of the pile. It makes you feel really good about yourself. But it's very destructive as well. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing here. And that's also why Jesus always used them as kind of a punching bag in the Gospels. You know, they were always around. The religious Jews were always around. And Jesus pretty much tore them up many times by just calling them out. He called them out so many times. And I just want you to listen to this, because every once in a while I like to read what Jesus has to say about the religious Jews that were around him at that moment. Because it's no different. Remember, it's the same people that were influencing the Galatian believers. And this is when Jesus was here, back in Matthew, and associating and talking to and watching, and he can see the heart, right? So we understand that he knows exactly what their motivation is. So let's just read this and see what it says. This is in Matthew 23:24-28. He says this. He says, "You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." That'd be a good sermon. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Notice the order there. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Wow. There's your description of what Paul is telling them not to go back to. Is basically prettying up the outside of the cup when the inside is filth. It's dirty. It's something that's not clean, right? And that's exactly what the Pharisees were. You could not tell that they were not spiritual from the outside for sure. They actually look exactly the opposite. You think, wow, they are sure godly people. By what they said, by what they did, by how they looked, all the boxes seemed to check, right? But the reality is, you can't check all the boxes because the thinking's going to come out eventually. The thinking comes out. And obviously you could see that in their actions as well, right? They can't, you know, screw all in all the screws and seal up all the holes. When you've got wrong thinking, it's going to obviously come out. But I just wanted to show you, you can see the slavery in that lifestyle. As I read through that, you can see the slavery to the sin nature, trying to live up to what the sin nature is trying to get you to do. They are trying to keep that outside of that cup clean. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of work. There's no freedom in trying to keep the outside of the cup clean with the inside dirty. And I'm talking about the soul. There is no freedom in that. That is, you're a slave to the people. Because if they see it, oh no. That's what you are working off of. You're a slave to the church. You're a slave to the people. You're a slave to what people see. Man, can you imagine? You can't ever take a break. Ever. Because you're always trying to cover, conceal, do, and the inside. What are you trying to cover? You're trying to cover the inside. That's what you're trying to really cover. You're trying to conceal the inside of the cup. Don't look in the cup, right? I just want to see the outside, and then that'll get you, kind of back you away. I mean, that, you know, that takes a lot of work. So they had the outside clean as a whistle. But guess what? The outward life of morality and good works means absolutely nothing if you don't have the right motivation to do it with. There's going to be a lot of people that are upset, when we get to heaven, because they've got a lifestyle of living cleaning the outside of the cup. Cleaning the outside of the cup. They check all the boxes, right? They got the right shine, they got the right paint, they got the right everything on the outside, our boxes. But they don't check any of God's boxes as far as spirituality is concerned. I think there's a lot of people like that. That's what the United States really consists of nowadays. A lot of pretty, pretty cups that are pretty filthy on the inside, right? Unfortunately, that's not I don't mean that jokingly, but anyways, so you got to have the right motivation. You got to have the right thoughts to do any kind of good deeds. To have any kind of clean cup, the inside has to be right. And it has to be acceptable to God. Or the outside means absolutely nothing. Nothing. So that means a few things. It means not only are you a slave to the system, but everything you do in life is of no value to God. Wow, that's an eye-opener right there. Oh, remember, you're doing it all because why? Because you're a slave to man. You're a slave to man. And when you get into that system, none of it is acceptable to God, and you're not glorifying God, you're glorifying self, unfortunately. So, you know, I was thinking it'd be interesting to see if Jesus came back today. And he went from church to church, going around and just checking people out. And I bet you we'd hear this same speech right here to a lot of churches. Pretty on the outside, but full of filth on the inside. And that's because there's no spiritual growth. And really, that's rooted in negative volition. There's no positivity to the word. There's no one that's interested in learning what you're learning and what I'm learning. There's no one interested anymore. There used to be a lot more interested. But you know what? That has dwindled down to the point where you have pockets, little pockets all over that are there, but it's not as widespread as it used to be. Why? Because people have gotten lazy in their spiritual life. They've slacked off. They've gotten out from under God's authority, and they're living a life, right? That's what it's all about, right? No, it's not. And I think we're feeling that, a lot of that. So we've got a lot of people that outwardly appear to be righteous, but inwardly they were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And you know, that's really, a hypocrite is someone that says one thing and does another. That's really what a hypocrite is, or looks one way and thinks another way. See how the things are disconnected there. I mean, yeah, we're human. We can all be hypocrites at times. But when your whole life is centered around thinking something different than what you're involved in, that's a problem. That's a problem, right? We've all been a little disconnected at times, and we probably will be. But we don't want to be defined as a hypocrite, right? You don't want your whole entire life to be hypocritical in nature, because you're detached from the Word of God and the details. So we have to remember, God's way is not our way. And that is okay. That is okay. His ways are higher than our ways. But if we can just have enough humility to get under His way, that's the ticket. Humility is always the ticket that gets you to a little closer to freedom every day of your life. Once you get out from that humility, the first thing you'll do is sin. Quicker than anything. Quicker than anything. So anyways, the good news is that God has given us His way, right? He's given us His way. And I say that in a way that I'm telling you that He's given us His way because He sent Jesus Christ to rescue us from the sin nature. And I would say that's part of Jesus' plan for humanity, right? To get us back in to living in a way that we could not otherwise live without Jesus and the Holy Spirit that He sent. So big, huge deals. So, you know, when we put those things second place, I think not only are we blinded to the way that He wants us to go, but we can't see, and we superimpose our own way over His. Those are huge things, deal breakers, right? To not only even seeing the solutions, but when you start to superimpose your own way over His, you become blinded to everything else that's underneath that. And that's what the religious Jews were trying to do right here. They were trying to get them to follow certain parts of the law for salvation. Well, guess what that does? It blinds a person to salvation by grace alone and faith alone. Of course, thankfully, these were believers, right? But it doesn't matter. Because if you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, get influenced by religion, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation, but I'm saying you're going to lose your spiritual life. You're not going to no longer live as a spiritual Christian. Because if you want to be involved in the yoke of slavery, keeping that outside of the cup clean, you're more than welcome to do that. We're all more than welcome to do that. But I guarantee you, you will not be living according to the Spirit. You can't do it. It's impossible. Those things are mutually exclusive. That's why Paul's saying the freedom in one and the slavery in another. Those things are mutually exclusive. So that's why Paul says don't go back. Don't go to that, right? Don't add that additional layer to the freedom that you already have. So anyways, it's just not a good combination there. And I would say it does a lot more things than I'm mentioning now. It's actually not just an additional layer. What is it? It's spiritual malnourishment is really what it is. I think it malnourishes a person spiritually, and it's something that is unrecognizable. It's something that we can't really see. And that's how Satan loves to work, in things that we can't see. When you're not getting the spiritual food that you need, you can't see the problem. You can't see the problem. The system that you're in, that's not the problem for sure. That can't be the problem. See what I mean? You can't see the problem. But, I mean, and I don't want to take the responsibility off the individual. We've all been in places that have been a problem, and we don't look to the problem as the source of the problem. We've all been there, right? And we kind of just stay in the problem because, you know, see, it always goes back to free will. We all have a decision to make, but at the same time, do we want to make it? I guess we could say that. I do think, though, there's a lot of people who are deceived, no doubt about it. But that still doesn't get them off the hook as an excuse, right? So, and guess what? If you don't see the source of the problem, you can't resolve the problem. You can't resolve the problem. Once you go off in that plane of cleaning the outside of that cup, you can't see the source of the problem because you've rejected the source of the solution. That's what happens. When you reject that source, you lose sight of the things. And that's what happens to a lot of people. I've seen a lot of believers growing and growing and growing. They hear something they don't like. They turns them off. They reject. They leave. And they go somewhere. And their growth is affected. Their growth is affected. Now they're not living in a spiritual manner, but they're living in a way that is under a yoke of slavery. Under a yoke of slavery. Now they're doing things that are a part of a system that the system is requiring of them to do. Right? Do this, say this, hang around these. A lot of things to do. Right when you get there. Get involved. Right? Get involved right when you get there. Seen that so many times. It's a sad thing, but it's a trap. And most of us have experienced that in one way or another. And by the way, it doesn't mean that people like that don't need encouragement. Don't give up on anybody, right? We're all here for a reason. You understand things differently than most people do. And I would say use that to your advantage. It's called God using you in other people's lives. So anyways, these kinds of decisions that Paul is trying to get them to see, the reason why it's so important to him is because the decisions that they're making have temporal repercussions and they have spiritual repercussions. Both. Huge deals. So you can understand why he's so passionate about this subject, because when you see people step off into these areas and you see that they're a slave to the system and not a slave to Christ, it's not only heartbreaking, but you know, you have to watch them drift in their spiritual life. You have to watch them drift. And it's not a fun thing to do, because at one point they knew, they understood, they were in. And that's where the Galatians are. They're on that teetering line, right? If when you get to that point, we've got to check ourselves. We have to check ourselves, because any of us can get off into being influenced by something outside of the Word of God. Anything, anyone at any time can. None of us are immune to that for sure. And when you do, you're going to spend the rest of your life cleaning the outside of that cup. That's what you're going to do. There's a lot more to the spiritual life than cleaning that cup. I guarantee you. Let the Holy Spirit clean that cup. And then the inside and the outside's clean, right? That's freedom, by the way. There's no work involved with that cleaning aspect. God does the cleaning. We're just serving Him. That's what a slave does to Christ, not to the system, right? So that's why Paul gives them two commands right off the bat. You notice that? Keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Keep standing firm. That applies to us for sure. Keep standing firm. You know, when I think of standing firm, I think of there's going to be an effort there. There's going to be something that you have to make a decision to do and stick with it. Stick to your guns. because you're influenced more than most people when it comes to this area. Because you're the minority. The majority is under the system of slavery in our country. The minority. So I'm telling you, you have to stand firm. And is that easy? No, it's not easy. Standing firm on the truth and the Word of God is not something that's easy. It's hard. But guess what? We live in a sinful world, and you've got God on your side as well. So at the same time, it's more than possible. And you can be successful at it, but you have to be airtight in your growth. You've got to. Otherwise, those ideas, those thoughts, you're going to start to entertain them. You're going to start to entertain them. And that's where we start to get in trouble, when we start to think, well, maybe that could be a good thing. Or maybe that's something that I can consider doing. Or maybe we can do this, and you know what I mean? You see the idea. When we start to entertain those things, that means we may not be as consistent in our growth as we should be. So that's what Paul's trying to get them to see. Hey, guys, freedom or slavery. So that's why you understand these two commands. Stand firm. Actually, keep standing firm. At exactly what this word, listen to the meaning of this word. It means to stay firmly committed in conviction and belief, which they need to hear and we need to hear. To stay firmly committed, and that doesn't mean that you're firmly committed to a building. It doesn't mean you're firmly committed to a pastor. It doesn't mean you're firmly committed to anything outside of the Word of God. That's what that's saying. You're firmly committed to standing on the truth of the Word of God. Let's go to verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. No benefit. Wow. It's just one thing. This is just one of the 613 laws that fall under the Mosaic Law. He's saying, if you do this, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, you see what he's getting to here. He's saying, don't intermingle the freedom with the slavery. That's what he's telling it. And he's saying, if you do, you're going to cancel out this part of it that Christ has made available to you. He's saying, don't do that. And he uses the word of no benefit to you. Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, to a Christian, that's critical. That's everything, right? Christ is our source. We're the branch. He's the vine, right? Remember the analogy. Abide in Him. So, and this is what I meant by all the good you can do will be of no value. Of no value. This right here. This right here. Look at that one decision. What they did. They went back to a something that they shouldn't have been doing. Was it necessarily evil? No. Was it necessarily immoral? No. But it was something that was unneeded, right? And if it's something that we feel like we have to do, that is influencing us, that, oh, well, maybe we should do this just because. Well, think about this passage right here. Where are you receiving your benefit from, right? Is it something that's influencing you? Or is it something that the Word of God is telling you and you are living through the Holy Spirit, which we all receive from His Word, right? From the teaching of His Word. But there's so many things that the world is trying to add to that. So there's only two different systems, right? It's either legalism and you're trying to please man, or it's spirituality and you're trying to please God. That's the only two systems. So if you have a decision to make, if you're being influenced by outside pressures, ask yourself, what is the motivation in that desire to do that? Is it to please a person and their desires to do something or go somewhere or move or change the rules of how you live the spiritual life? Or is it because of God and because you're serving Him and because you're motivated and you love Him? Big, huge difference there. huge difference. So with that being said, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll, I'm thinking we'll get through 2 verse 4. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the, just the ability to understand, to see clearly, to be able to grow in a way that is not only pleasing to you, but also satisfying in our own lives to know that, you know, we're not useless. You've taken us and you've made us useful. And we just pray that we can not only maintain that usefulness through the Holy Spirit, but also to keep growing so we can be used more and more by you. We thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.